Coming at you from both sides of the gauntlet, it's the latest episode of Rage Across the Internet. I'm your host, Porter. To my left, we've got producer Joey.
Hey, guys.
And straight back from his parole hearing, Daniel Tyson. How are we doing, buddy?
Man, I gotta let you stop calling me that.
You'll die trying. So how's everybody doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I think it was known that I had some vocal issues.
Right.
For a couple weeks. And so, hey, I'm back in studio, which is really nice. It's good to see you guys.
Feeling
you
better.
Yeah. It was really weird. You know, you guys have met me, so like me just shutting my mouth for a week was not the easiest thing on the planet.
But scary, honestly.
Right? This poor isn't said anything. What the fuck's going on?
Yeah, I was a little worried.
You were in a talking diet, so.
I was. I lost 40 words per minute. But
well said.
Thank you. But I got better, so here we are. And we get through those backlog, though. I mean, that's what it's for.
Exactly.
We had some good episodes.
We did.
You know, Joey, you kicked some ass the last couple weeks.
Thank you.
Yeah, you know, I think you putting those out 2 weeks in a row was probably not a coincidence.
No, I think she planned it.
I was trying. I was trying to fly under the radar. You guys caught me.
Yeah. And I know part of that was the episode where I accused her of not actually doing any edits. And so she picks the two strongest episodes she's ever had. Like, I'll show that asshole.
You still did well.
No, it was a good show. So those were nice.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool to hear those back because, you know, we record however many, you know, when we sit down for recording day.
And then they go into kind of the vault.
Right. You know, so. You know, we recorded those. I don't even know when. I didn't remember half of what happened.
Oh,
so it's like listening to them for the first time.
So it's like a new show for you.
A little bit.
Okay. So, do we want to cover some business?
Well, I suppose we can.
Yeah.
What do you got in mind?
Well, I was thinking about giving a shout out to our donor.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, God, who is that guy? I don't remember.
Some
clown. Who is it, Danny?
That guy is the guy.
The guy?
That doesn't help.
Who's that guy? We all know who that guy is.
Yes, we
the
do.
The guy.
No, shout out to our boy Billy for a hot and fresh donation.
It helps keep the energy drinks up. Thanks a bunch.
Definitely does.
Thanks, yeah, Billy. You are the guy.
Yeah, but you kick ass. We appreciate it.
So, if you want a shout-out, you know, hit the donate button.
We love our fans.
We do. And you know about the donate button.
We are
looking to swap that out for a Patreon kind of thing.
Okay.
We're not there yet. We're talking about it. But I know I like the idea of giving a little something back if they go to the trouble for donating.
Mm-hmm.
So that might be in the future. But if, I know in the meantime, for those donators, like Billy here, he's going to be getting kind of grandfathered in on the rewards.
Oh, that's neat.
Because, you know, I know we're making this switch. It doesn't seem fair to me. So we're going to make a list. Everyone's going to get grandfathered in. It's going to be cool.
Awesome.
I don't see a problem with it.
Yeah.
And we'll keep you guys updated.
Yeah.
When we know stuff, we'll let you know.
Yeah. We do just a lot of spitballing, a lot of talking. You know, we've been looking at merch,
mm-hmm.
which we had been doing for a while, but now it's more of a real thing. You know, this week I think we prototyped a couple items.
Yeah.
And we're going to make it happen. Let's have some fun coming up in the future.
Show our appreciation for your appreciation.
I like that.
That's a hell of a sentence, Danny. Good job.
Yeah, okay.
No, it's good. I like it.
That's holding on to it for a few minutes.
Well played. I don't know what to tell you.
So, any other business?
Oh, my God.
Always business.
Yeah, right.
Well, we don't have to cover it all right now.
Well, that's true, and because, again, we don't discuss these things beforehand.
No. And it's the weekend. Who wants to keep working on the weekend?
It's Tuesday.
It's for future.
Or for past. Oh, you don't fucking know.
I apologize. It's not the weekend. Who knows what day it is? Whatever day it is, happy day to you.
Happy day indeed.
And that's enough of the business.
Kalu Kalay.
No more business.
Okay, so how about we get a somewhere topic? I thought today we could talk about the Umbra.
Scary?
Not scary.
That's a lot to talk about.
Right, which I thought we'd kind of bare bones it, do kind of like a basics. We'll hit the Penumbra today.
Okay, so like an intro to the Umbra.
Why not?
Umbra 101.
Yeah. You can't cover it all. I mean, what does all of the Umbra mean, first and foremost?
Exactly.
We could debate that until we just die here, in the studio. Just a bunch of skeletons.
We'd run out of energy drinks, though.
Well, I did say we'd die. What do you think happens to me without caffeine? Look, I had to quit smoking.
Okay.
You take my caffeine away, forget about it.
So, maybe we should explain for the Cubs what the Umbra is.
Well, the Umbra is the spirit world, which, of course, was once one with the physical world, which is called, also known as the Realm.
Okay.
And until the Weaver's bullshit, and it was the Weaver's bullshit, right? Not the Worm's bullshit?
She had a mental shattering, and she lowered the gauntlet.
No, she created the gauntlet.
Well,
is that what we're calling it?
Are you mean lowered it into position because that sounds nicer?
Yes.
Then violently severed the spirit world from the physical world?
No, it was gently lowered into place.
Gently.
To segregate the spirits from the regular, from people.
Yes. But then she gave them dogma to help them. But we're going backwards.
Yeah, leave Kevin Smith and his films out of this. Jesus Christ. Now, yes, the Weaver created the gauntlet, which is, again, the barrier between the two worlds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's obviously stronger in places of greater technology, of the greater influence by the Weaver.
Yes.
And why is the Umbra important?
Well, I mean, werewolves are spiritual creatures. They're very spiritual creatures. So we have...
Well, they are, in fact, part spirit, correct?
Correct.
Yes.
So you have half spirit and half non-spirit?
It was more like a thirdsies, because man wolf spirit.
All right, fine. I guess we're going bare bones on that.
Well, we just did. Huh.
Boom, got it.
But yeah, so like man and wolf are both, realm concepts. You know, they're earthly. They're physical. They can be measured scientific. So it's the spirit, and the Umbra deals with, the mysticism and the magic, and it's the realm of dreams and nightmares.
Among other things.
Because there are realms of dreams and of nightmares. So that's absolutely true, and that's where we start to get really complicated. And
we're not going
to
do that.
Oh, we're going to get a little complicated.
Well,
we're going to keep it. Today we're going to keep it to the pen Umbra.
Yes.
You can't.
And in the surrounding.
Not get complicated with the Umbra.
Right. I mean, we're going to deal with some of the surrounding stuff, as well. But we're not venturing. We're not going to find an anchorhead. We're not crossing into the near Umbra. We're not dealing with the near realms. Not today. We don't have time for that show.
But no. But the gauntlet is the surface tension, if you will, that you have to break in order to cross into the Umbra.
Yeah, when you cross, you are literally, ripping a hole in this invisible barrier to step across. It's step sideways is what it's known as.
Mm-hmm.
I like using step sideways.
Fuck yeah. Now, so obviously you're ripping a hole in the gauntlet. Hey, you're through. Congratulations. And you've entered the penumbra, which is also known as Gaia's Shadow.
Yes.
Or the Velvet Shadow. Which is just far classier. So classy. Look at that. It's a classy game, everybody. Get your monocles ready. Shift to Krynos. Top hat and a cane, too. Let's go Mr. Peanut on this. What do you say?
Top hat on a Krynos.
You got to have the spats.
Classy.
Yep.
It's class plus here, goddammit.
But yeah, the penumbra is basically a shadow of the earthly realm.
Yes.
A very vastly almost reflection.
Yeah, but stuff is different too.
Well, like what stuff is different, Joey?
Well, like humans generally aren't shown there. It's kind of deserted because like things have to have a spiritual essence. Like, and so only highly spiritual humans have, like, a reflection there. So, from what I was reading, it seems like it's desolate.
It definitely can be. And, you know, you talk about the presence of humans, but the presence of a great many things. You know, that old church down the street that's been there for a couple hundred years, you know, that's maintained and people still worship. You know, there's going to be a representation of that in the Penumbra. The strip mall a block down that was put up last week certainly won't be. But, you know, let's assume that I almost want to use like a real business's name. Jane's sewing shop, right? So as to not get us into legal trouble.
Try Little Reds.
This is going to be terrible, Dan.
Okay.
You let me.
Fair.
Whoa.
I'm listening.
you don't talk about Little Red that way. So if Jane's sewing shop, you find out that she's got 12 orphans in the basement making the fucking products.
Oh.
See, Danny, you standing by that now, you jerk?
No.
Okay.
I apologized already.
Little Reds has no association with orphans.
It's true.
Nor does Jane's, if she's really out there.
You don't know Jane.
You're right.
You don't even know which Jane. Statistically, there's a Jane that knows something about orphans.
Statistically?
I don't know what, but statistically, there is a Jane that knows. If your name's Jane and you know anything at all about orphans, send us an email.
Please write in.
Prove Danny wrong.
Well worth it.
Okay.
But again, yeah, if she's got her little orphan sweatshop down in the basement. Holy shit, that's a band name right there. There's going to be a negative spiritual resonance in the Umbra is the point.
And that's going to...
Like I did when I went a long way to say
that. It was a long way around.
And that's going to make that sewing shop's representation and the area around it in the Umbra, you know, dark and corrupted.
Correct. Certainly. Corrupted was the word I was looking for, yeah.
And so what you'll get is, you know, and let's take this further to a cityscape to make this easier. Mm-hmm. Because I think when I'm talking about strip malls, we're talking about the church two blocks away. I already get that suburb.
Yeah.
Kind of view. And that's like the weird havesy that maybe is not the best example we could be using. So let's run off to the city real quick.
Okay.
And so you'll get those older buildings, like those old factories maybe that have been in business forever. And they'll have that higher spiritual resonance. You'll have the thing with people, the people congregate to, you know, the more stake people put in things, the more faith, the more care, the more, you know.
Love.
Certainly. Or even hate, the more it will appear. But other stuff's there too. You know, you think of like a city skyline.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want to use New York intentionally because there's a lot of history and a lot of shit there. But, you know, somewhere else, you know, you Florida Panhandle, I don't know what.
Okay.
You know, those buildings will still be represented, but they will be shells. They'll be husks. They'll be like the vague silhouette of the building.
Well, and I read something interesting in the book that I was reading. And it said that, like, if the building doesn't have the spiritual representation, but it has a lot of technology, it can be covered in the spider webs from the Weaver spirits, but there won't actually be any walls. Like, it'll just be a building shape.
Yeah, a facade of webs. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I thought that was really, really fascinating.
Yeah, in fact, I was getting there, so thank you on that, because you just fucking cut to it, so good on you.
Oh, okay.
Well, look, I had to take us another round in the laps with the sewing machines, and you know, who knows where I was going to take us, right? You saw my point, you took it. Good on you. No, that's exactly it. There'll be a lot of facades, or, you know, maybe there's that apartment building. You know, there's not going to be shit at that apartment building. You know, you know, you have Daryl on floor, you know, like in 3A, building 3, you know, apartment 3A. And he's got his huge entertainment system and all the speakers. You'll find representations of those in the Umbra. You'll get the webs.
Okay.
You will get pattern webs there for that technology. And
because
what's the,
of Weaver.
Right, because of the Weaver. But obviously there's not going to be an Umbra TV there.
That would be kind of neat.
There's not going to be doors. There's not going to be windows. It's going to be a rickety kind of facade thing that you're on. Good luck with it holding.
Right.
With a ton of pattern webs.
And then Doug or Josh or whatever the hell I said his name was, I forget already, with his awesome entertainment system, you know, you don't like him, he owes you money, he's a dick. You can maybe screw up those webs and now his TV don't work too well. Which is a great way of bringing up, the representations of that technology. You know, it does matter. If you mess with that, that does affect the physical.
Yeah,
the physical version.
You can, And they were talking about it where, like, you know, if you're busting through webs and you're, you know, yeah, there might not be any doors or anything, but if you're busting through where the door would be and you're breaking those webs, that door in the physical reality is going to start to break down. Those hinges aren't going to work right. The door won't seat in the jam correctly anymore. And eventually the door will break.
And let's make that clear, that it's not one for one.
No.
Okay, if you're going to go into the Umbra and you're in the Umbra Walmart. All right. Which is a sentence I never thought I'd say. But you're going to be in that Umbra Walmart. You know, and obviously it's those big department stores. They have the magic eye, the automatic doors. You know, so you run through that, you rip through those webs. The doors don't explode in the physical world. Oh, that's not what happens.
That would be wild and really hard to explain.
Exactly. Like, it's a neat thing to just talk about, haha, but that's not what happens. Nothing happens to those doors. They break down.
They glitch.
Right. Like, oh, they're not working. What the hell? Get maintenance down here.
So, have you ever, like, walked up to those doors with the magic eye and they're supposed to open and they just don't? And then you back up and you go back and they do?
Well, according to The Simpsons, it's because you don't have a soul.
Oh, is that what happened? Okay, I just assumed that I turned invisible for a second.
No, no, you sold your soul to Milhouse.
Oh.
I forget what for. I think it was a comic book.
Sounds right.
It was 30 years ago, man. It's like season 2 shit. I don't know.
Hashtag not sponsored by The Simpsons.
Right, so if you're in the...
However, Mr. Grading, if you're oddly into a werewolf RPG and somehow listening to this...
So what happens if you're in Earthrealm and you break that door?
Well then the door breaks.
You're talking about the Umbra representation.
The Umbra representation exists.
Oh.
Is just fine.
So the webs don't just start falling down?
No, they don't. And in fact, if you are to screw up those webs in the Umbra, pattern spiders will come and repair that shit. So you haven't broken those doors forever. You've glitched them for a couple minutes.
Right.
Which is nice to keep in mind for, like, security cameras and shit.
Mm-hmm.
You can buy a little time. You know, yeah. Mess with the camera, but...
A little stealth game.
Well, and that's something you bring in because we're talking about right now, but specific about the Weaver, but this is true with all spiritual representations. You know, you can have that forest, you know, that people played in and wandered through for years and years and years, which is currently, you know, an apartment complex. And its Umbra representation might still be that forest.
Yeah.
And that means that forest could come back someday if those spirits are nurtured, and obviously there's some... You know, physical interference you'd have to deal with as well, but that's not what we're talking about right now.
Well, and I also like, in the books they describe it as, you know, that park could be overgrown and weed-choked and, you know, broken concrete and, you know, one swing is hanging crookedly. And in the Umbra, it is picturesque. It's glowing.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, it's just got so much going for it. You know, it's the perfect sky, it's the perfect day, it's got the perfect breeze.
Well, and that can go both ways, and it all depends on the spiritual resonance of, you know,
right.
how that's going to work out. You know, but, you know, the thing I was going toward is, you know, you can have that idea of that apartment complex, you know, in the Umbra, it's still that forest, but here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can have the Umbral version of that when it's physically not there. It doesn't work the other way.
Right.
You know, if you kill something's spirit, its physical representation will wither and die, period.
Mm-hmm.
But if you kill it in the Earth realm...
In the realm, yeah.
The spirit still exists.
It absolutely can. And again, we use this example like the forest was cut down to bring up some housing, but that forest was that important, you can keep those spirits, you can nurture it, it can still exist in the Umbra, and again, maybe that can bleed over into the realm if you get people to not fuck with it.
Right.
But that's
eventually.
A different... Yeah, that's a different thing.
Right.
There was a point that I read about, you know, talking about, like, the neighborhood playground, and you can actually, like, take kind of a blighted neighborhood playground and do, like, spiritual awakening on it, the rite of spiritual awakening, and, you know, nurture it and bring it and help it, like... revitalize the community. It'll bring positiveness to the community.
It certainly could, but I mean, I'd want to do a rite of cleansing on that,
well,
too, because,
yeah.
Hey, what's a blight?
Oh.
See, I'm going to pretend. I don't know what the fuck
okay.
What's a blight, everybody?
Corruption.
Certainly.
That's, yeah, corruption. That's all I got.
No, there's more.
There is more.
He's rifling his notes.
You're not standing?
Well, I'm trying not to bump the microphone.
Well, why are your notes over there?
It's a good question. It's not... Where is it? Someone tell me it is so we're not wasting time here.
I'm kind of enjoying this, actually.
Oh, man, I don't think the listeners are.
Okay, a blight is, you could use the word zone. I prefer to use the word like a mini realm,
okay.
Which can get confusing when we get further, you know, deeper into the Umbra. But just for right now, it's so weird watching you be that careful. He's handling these papers like they're about to just degrade.
Trying to bump the microphone.
Or rattle your papers.
And it was just really weird to watch him handle them that way. It was, he was holding them upright and like they were like, you know, like they needed to dry or something. And he's just with the tips of his fingers. It was super weird.
Trying to make it through the lasers.
Anyway.
Okay,
my
back to
God.
Blights.
Who are these people?
I'm not quite sure.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to use the word mini realm, you know, but that's, it's not a separate area from the Penumbra. It's an area in the Penumbra.
Okay.
You know, zone wouldn't be inappropriate.
Okay.
But a blight is an area. It's a hotbed of the struggle between the Weaver and the Worm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a place that's kind of been infected by both, and there you go.
Yep.
You know, urban decay is like a part of, you know, that's evident there. But that's a relative in terms of how bad that decay is. But generally, it's not a great place to be. It generally, for Agaru, it's a nice little battleground there in the Umbra to try to help make things better. You know, you will find blights all over the place.
And you do a rite of cleansing, and then you do, you know...
Yeah, you know, you get rid of what you can. You try the, you know, cleanse the best you can. It's that simple, and then it's never that simple.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't think in our games it's ever been that simple.
It's never that simple.
I feel like you only encountered the one... And that was in the very ass beginning when you met Raccoon.
Yes, maybe our rite. Yeah, it was our rite of passage.
Man, that was phoned in.
Oh, boy.
Oh, it was phoned in by design, and that's a conversation for a different day.
Yes.
But I did something neat with their first story that I'd never done before. And so, like, by nature of the game, it was phoned in.
Okay.
Not because I was being lazy, because the Garu that helped them had better shit to do.
Oh, okay.
Which made for... story and made sense now that we know who that character is. It established that character.
But yeah, there are a lot of different types of these zones, these mini realms, if you will, throughout the Penumbra. You know, vestiges of power between the Triad.
Mm-hmm.
And those are... We're going to talk about them as we go, but I feel like I'm kind of...
You're going.
We can slow down. We don't got to get there immediately.
This is not a race.
It's not a gun in anybody's head yet, Danny. Keep it together.
Sorry. Wait, like you're pointing it at me, or you're waiting for me to take it out.
Gross. That's how you got on parole, Danny.
Crazy. So there was an interesting point that I was reading about, and it says shapeshifters only cast a partial reflection in the Umbra. So, like...
Interesting.
If you're in the Umbra looking around and you see a shapeshifter that's in the realm, it'll be a partial reflection.
Which is... It can be.
It can
be. And that's kind of neat, if you have a further point.
Mages. Magic users, you know, mages... Mm-hmm. Who are, you know, they're spiritually awakened beings, so they cast an actual reflection in the Umbra.
Okay.
But the book also warns not to use it as a poor man's scent of true form.
Well, and I think that's something that I want to pivot to for a minute.
Okay.
And that's, you know, because we can talk about the different facets of the Penumbra, and we're going to continue to do that. But I want to take a quick break since you brought that up. And about how groups sometimes use the Umbra.
Okay.
You know, the Umbra is not a get-out-of-jail-free card.
No.
You know, we talk about how, like, oh, it's not going to have a door. You know, there's not going to be people. There's not going to be witnesses in the Umbra. And that sounds a lot like, oh, I could just go in the Umbra and go to the bank vault and, like, go back inside the vault, get the money, and just leave. That's not... No, sir. It's not a get-out-of-jail-free card.
I know I said stealth, but it's a little bit more than that.
Well, you know, but I mean, there are groups, and there's sometimes... there could be a temptation if it's not properly...
Yeah. Oh, and then there's the, hey, let's drive a car into the Umbra.
That trope, makes no sense.
Which is theoretically possible, but again, you're doing weird shit here.
And bad idea land.
Right. Like, I think you're viewing the Umbra as a game mechanic, and that's a problem. Because it's, again, Agaru is part spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the spirit realm is a real thing. The Umbra is a real thing. You know, we try not to get real world. We'll get a little meta, but we won't, you know. You have all these religions in the real world. Okay.
Correct.
Outside of this game, and this is a weird area for me.
Okay.
Outside of the game, what the fuck is this? But there's all these religions out there. And everyone obviously believes their religion is the right one.
Well, one would hope.
No one's like, I'm Christian because it sounds silly. No one says that. That's not, you know, the motivator. But, you know, so everyone believes that the religion is correct, but the Garu have the, so what I'm looking for here.
They have the ability to prove it.
Yes, they are, I guess, fortunate enough to know that the Kool-Aid they are drinking is legit. They can go and talk to the spirits. They can go and, the spirit world's real. Okay, fruitcake, have fun. No, they can just cross. They can go there.
Yeah.
Here, I'll prove it.
They can talk to their ancestor spirits. They could theoretically summon Gaia and go, hey, this is an avatar of Gaia. Go, this is right. This is how it happened, right?
Yeah, and maybe you don't ever do that.
Yeah, don't.
That's why he said theoretically, because it's probably not going to happen.
But
oh, and I have a story when we talk about summoning Celestines. But anyway,
yeah.
Good luck with it.
Yeah, but you know they have that advantage.
Mm-hmm.
Is this is real for them? And I mean, we're back into the game again, so this is real.
Yeah.
Because we're in the game again.
Game on.
Right.
Yep.
You know, it's not theoretical. It's not, sure, there's faith, but there's faith based on fact, on proof now. The Umbra is not a get-out-of-jail-free card. It's not the cops are here and they surround us, so now we go into the Umbra. It's not that a pack of black spirals just jumped us, or we're going to break into this this meat packing plant because we know that there's tainted food coming out of here and we're going to jump in the Umbra and make it easy. No. You know that meat packing plant in the Umbra? It's going to be a fucking nightmare.
It's going to be way worse.
Yeah, it's going to be at the very best of blight.
Yes.
Worst a hellhole.
Which.
And we'll get there.
That sounds as bad as it. Yeah. No, it's probably worse. It sounds,
yep. Yeah. You know, Banes are attracted to that shit. The same way is that weaver spirits are attracted to places technology. Where the weaver is strong, so are worm spirits attracted to where the worm's strong.
Right.
You know, wild spirits are attracted to the four places that the wild still got some fucking muscle left. You know? It's not that simple as I'm just going to go here and like, oh, I'm going to get out of trouble. No, you're probably going to get in worse trouble. But
so
that,
the more corruption the worm has in the spot, the worse it is in the Umbra.
Yeah, imagine that, by the way.
Oh my God.
You know?
All of the sense of the world. Yeah,
if only we thought about that for 3 seconds first.
Right.
But if, you know, you have a storyteller who for some reason isn't emphasizing the importance of the Umbra, the vastness of the Umbra, the potential of the Umbra, it can be looked at as that get out of jail free card. And mm-hmm. Holy shit, don't let it be.
No, definitely don't let it be.
That's a bit of a rant, huh?
Yeah.
A little bit, but it's fine. I liked it.
But right. You mentioned ancestor spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to talk about that because I read an interesting point about eating in the Umbra and staying in the Umbra for a long period of time. And if you starve to death in the Umbra, like you're there for 2 years.
That's a long time.
But there are Gru that go into the Umbra for extended periods of time.
I get extended, but like 2 years?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Damn, that's crazy.
An Umbral, you don't get to choose when your Umbral quest ends. Okay. You don't get to decide, I'm done. Coyote says you're going, you got to do this, you got to go to this Umbral quest. You don't go, fucking American Idol's on, though.
I'm done. American Idol is on.
The World Series, dude. Just, come on. You don't get to do it.
To remain healthy and vital and strong, you use Gnosis.
Mm-hmm.
instead of, like, consuming food. And there's quotation marks. It said one point of gnosis a week if you're relaxing and, you know, traveling at a sedate pace and not doing anything strenuous.
And that varies based on the shit that's going on around you.
Right. It said on average one point a day if you're doing strenuous stuff or you have a combat or something like that. If you don't replenish that gnosis in some way, you can, quote, starve to death.
That's nuts.
Yeah. And you will become an ancestral spirit.
Huh.
Or if you stay in there for years.
Yeah, you can be in the Umbra so long that your physical body goes away.
Yeah.
And the other side of that can be true as well.
Mm-hmm.
Is by ignoring the Umbra, you could lose the spirit.
Yes.
Right. And I also did read that, you know, the longer you stay in Earth Realm without visiting Umbra, or at least Penumbra, the harder it is to step sideways and vice versa.
Exactly.
Yes.
So, as a storyteller, make sure that's, you know, add a plus one difficulty or whatever, but make sure it's a point.
Yeah.
Definitely. You know, I mean, you know, you could say it's like riding a bike, you never forget. Let me tell you something. A few years ago, I bought a bike. All right. You know, I mean, I was a kid from the 80s, you know.
We all had bikes.
Yeah, we had bikes and you were just everywhere.
Yeah.
You left at some point in the day on your bike and then you came back around sundown.
Yep.
You know, and so, you know, that was your fun years and then you get older, you know, here's cars, it's great. So a couple years ago, I bought a bike and I got on that thing. And it's true, you never forget how to ride a bike, but you are terrible at it at first.
Yeah. That is, that is the theory. And then there is the practice.
No, I am telling you in practice. I didn't fall over enough, but Jesus Christ, I might as well have. I was terrible at it.
Yeah, you didn't forget how to do it, you couldn't do it.
Yeah, you know. They go like a block and go, oh my God, how did I do this all day? You're wobbling around like an idiot, you know? I think I'm 10 years old. I got my eyes closed. I got my hands fucking off the handlebars. I'm just living my life. And no, you don't forget, but you're not good at it for a while.
Step sideways. Make it more difficult. Make it a point to show why. I think it's a big deal.
Now, I do want to take a step back where you did scare the shit out of me for a second, Joey.
What?
Well, you were talking about not starving to death in the Umbra, then you're like in the ancestor spirits. And I thought you were going to be like, you could cannibalize them.
No.
But you took that leap, and for a second, I'm like, I'm sorry, what are we doing?
And there is a spirit of the prey animal called Englings that are hunted for gnosis. And that's the primary food if you're in the Umbra for an extended period of time.
No, that's true. Those are gafflings at that point in our hierarchy of spirits, which we're not discussing today. So why'd I say it?
Because it's too much.
Yeah. I don't want to mind flood anybody.
Take a note.
No, it's probably already mind flooding, but we're trying to keep it just head above level.
Yeah, we're doing what we can.
But yeah, so if you starve to death, you know, run out of gnosis, you become an ancestor spirit. And I thought that was kind of neat. Because we all, well, maybe not all of us, but some of us knew that if you stayed in the Umbra too long, you would disconnect from the physical body and you would become a spirit.
Mm-hmm.
But it's neat to know that you can, quote, starve to death as well.
Well, and something to add about ancestor spirits is when you converse with an ancestor spirit, you're not speaking to that ancestor.
No.
You're speaking to a spiritual representation of that ancestor.
Mm-hmm.
It's a subtle distinction, but it's an important distinction.
Right. And like the Englings, they're the spirit of prey animal.
Right.
So it's not, you know, a cow. It's the spiritual representation of the prey animal, of the deer.
Well, right. Because, you know, they're not made of flesh. They're made of ephemera.
Yeah. So it's not like, you know, Louie, the deer that's in your backyard. It's not deer.
That guy's he deserves it, though. That guy's a prick.
I mean, if you're allowing him to stay in your backyard. Fucking Louie. Louie the deer.
Guy's an asshole.
Deer. Yeah. Right.
You see Louie.
I don't have deer in my backyard.
Let's talk about your backyard.
Right, so the Sepp's backyard, maybe there's a Louis.
Now there is.
Yes. Save that for Louis.
Oh, what?
But the other fun little factoid that I had to mention was it said if you had to take a plane ride, and I know we've talked about...
We have talked about this, about air travel.
Air travel and the guru. And how awful and horrible and stinky gross.
Bad idea jeans.
Yep. Bad news bears.
You're going to rage. Don't do it.
It said if you can do the rite of spirit awakening on the plane and get away with it, because, you know, that's not a for sure-sies, the plane will have a presence in the Umbra, and you can step sideways into the Umbra and ride that plane in peace and comfort.
I mean, that's pretty cool. I mean, that's pretty smart. And I think that's something to bring up, is that, you know, everything has a spirit, you know. There's a spiritual representation for everything, but mostly they're dormant.
Yes.
And that's why the penumbra is, you know, it's you know, again, Gaia's shadow. You know, it's very much a distorted version, one way or the other, of what we see in the realm. But, you know, you can, there are rites like the Rite of Spirit Awakening, which can, you know, activate, bring a spirit, awaken a spirit, bottom line. It's right there in the name.
Yeah, but you're not, when you do the Rite of Spirit Awakening, it's not like, you know, Knight Rider with the talking car. You know, if you spiritually awaken your car.
It certainly can be.
That sounds cool. If there's enough, you know, spiritual representation of it.
No, that totally can. No. Ooh, okay. No, that absolutely to the spirit. Right. Not in the realm.
Right.
There was a disconnect, right? See?
I see where you're going.
There was that disconnect, and we fucking fell for it, Danny.
Yeah, we did.
Instead of clarifying, we fucking fell for it. My bad. Go on, Joey.
So, in the realm, your car is not going to be talking through the radio like, you know, a transformer or kit or, you know. In the realm, yeah, sure. That in the Umbra.
There you go.
In the Umbra, there you go. Yes. In the Umbral realm, your vehicle will then have a presence.
Yeah, you're the spirit.
Yes.
And that will take on an appearance and traits. You know, it's not...
It's not a one-for-one with your actual car. Like, the cigarette burn, it may not be in the seat.
Well, but the thing is there might not be a seat. What was the name? No one's going to remember. I'm going to look like an asshole. The Scooby-Doo clone, where the Scooby-Doo stand-in was a car.
Oh, my goodness.
No idea.
I knew it.
What kind of cut-rate cartoons are you watching?
Hanna-Barbera, man. This is the fucking kings of cartoons in their day. But there were 30 fucking Scooby-Doo ripoffs.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, Jabberjaw. There was the Dune buggy. There was the actual car. There was
whatever.
Anyway, so yeah, it's not going to be, it's the car, but its headlights are eyes, and it can talk to you. Is the spirit?
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily. You know, it could. You know, if the car in question maybe is a Mustang,
right?
Maybe that's a horse, and maybe the burn marks, the cigarette lighter burn marks on the seat. Maybe that's a scar on the thing's cheek.
Yeah.
You know, there's going to be a representation, and it's not necessarily a one-for-one. This is the point there. And if you know, guys, the name of the Scooby-Doo ripoff, where it's a goddamn car, it's a talking car, I think it was red, let me, because it's going to bother me, and I'm certainly not going to look it up. But I want to throw it in their faces in a later episode.
Why waste any time looking that up? Scooby-Doo ripoff, Google.
You will get 30 shows, because Hanna-Barbera had like 5 different programs.
They were
in
very
30
busy.
Different skins. Jetsons and the Flintstones, same show.
Oh yeah, 2 different time eras.
Danny, did you have anything interesting you wanted to talk about?
Of course, I had a ton of interesting things. But
well, prove it.
Oh, I mean,
it's fast losing those notes now, right? You can hear them.
Just the fact that humans wouldn't be able to handle the Umbra.
Yeah. I mean, some of them can, but again, it's the ones
it's
that
very
are
small
yeah, it,
ratio or it, small percentage.
ones that are, you know, high-end drugs or extremely spiritually awakened.
Well, and even then, they can't get a glimpse of the full umbra. What they're getting is called the periphery.
Right.
You know, it's where it's a thinness in the gauntlet that they can kind of sort of get an idea through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are gifts and shit like that that can allow non-shifters to cross the gauntlet, but that's, again, it's not what we're talking about. That's its own special thing.
Also sounds kind of irresponsible.
I feel that way as well, but that's none of my business.
They talk about vampires being in the Umbra.
Oh, that's scary.
Oh, it was kind of funny. It was kind of funny because they can't feed.
They starve to death.
Unless they feed on the spirit of blood.
And only
interesting.
The spirit of blood.
Yes!
I would have never thought of that. Of course, my first question becomes, how the fuck are they going to know to do that anyway? I can't imagine there's going to be a spirit walking that's not going to be hostile to a vampire. And I'm even talking worm spirits. You know? Garor, I don't want to say it, because there are other shifters.
Mm-hmm.
But I am right now going to say Garor are largely the only ones who can kind of roll the Umbra with impunity in terms of dealing with spirits. And again, there are other shifters, but we're not talking about them right now. So just don't worry.
just roll with it.
The Batman will be gone soon.
But yeah, I liked the concept of the spirit of blood is the only way that they can eat. But then it was talking about the pervasiveness of the sunlight in the Umbra during the day and how it's just everywhere.
Well, it's all ambient sunlight because the sun, while there is day and night in the Umbra, the sun does not shine.
Right.
It's just ambient sunlight.
Yeah, well, that's still bad for vampires, as it turns out.
Vampire, being in the Umbra is just not good for...
No, like, what?
Just, yeah, no. Just in general.
I don't even care how that happened. That guy's fucked.
They were less than specific on how it happened, but hey, if this ever does happen, look at this. And it was just all bad news bears.
Yeah, it's kind of funny.
It really was.
Stupid leech.
Yes.
And it's like, what did he, like... walk through the wrong door? Like, did he mean to go, like, into the closet and then he, like, opened the Umbra, like, to get a jacket?
you got the weird side-eye look going on from both sides right now.
And you just...
Phrasing.
You're right.
Yeah. All right.
Doesn't change the fact.
I don't know what happened, but I feel like it was artfully dodged. What?
No. All right, well, another thing I find kind of interesting, going back to, like, the gameplay aspect of this.
Sure.
When you're going to step sideways, it says, you know, stepping sideways, doing your roll. If you fail that roll or botch...
But those are two different things.
Right, no, you're right. So if you botch that roll, you are stuck in Weaver's webs.
And that is a terrifying fucking thing.
Mm-hmm.
It says right in the book, you are subject to soul-shattering visions.
That's not how I want to spend my Saturday afternoon.
Right. Well, and I know during one of our games,
mm-hmm.
you know, Danny, your character, Hunter, was actually looking through the gauntlet.
Peeking.
Yeah. Which is a thing that can be done. It's not easy, but it can be done. And you botched that roll.
I botched, yeah. It was a scary thought.
And so I had some fun, little artistic license, and I actually had a spider, pattern spiders, crawl out of your eyeballs.
Yes. Right out of the eye sockets. Because I was peeking, I wasn't trying to step. So you had Jessica, who was there, Tom wasn't there at the day, whatever was going on.
No.
Jessica tried it, wasn't a very good roll. So didn't get much visually. As mm-hmm. far as what she saw. Okay, let me try it. So we went from bad to worse.
To absolutely awful.
I botched the roll. It was probably the first botch I've ever had. And since then, now my character is terrified of the Umbra. Knows he has to do it, but really doesn't want pattern spiders coming out of my eyes again.
Well, and like, okay. There was a description of the gauntlet. And it was a thicker gauntlet.
Mm-hmm.
And it said that it was like half frozen water that's dragging at you and pressing down from all sides.
I like that description.
I thought it was pretty accurate and easily.
There's a few ways to define it, certainly. And I mean, there's that kind of film or residue that's on you when you kind of like you were walking through the woods and there was a spider web you didn't see. You walked through that motherfucker.
Just a lot of spider webs.
You know, it's like that too. Mm-hmm. You know, because you are, the gauntlet is a spiritual barrier, but now you're in the spirit world and there is a level of pseudo physicality to that.
But
that's
yeah.
a pseudo physical. Jesus Christ.
There are words.
Pseudo physicality, everybody.
Technotronics?
Ooh.
That is not, we are not responsible for that.
No, we are not.
Onion layers. Onion levels.
Onion levels.
That's your jam.
And ring the button.
Ringing buttons.
I've never heard of that. Kind of idiot would say that. Now.
But so, you know, I think when Hunter has to try to push himself through that half frozen water mm-hmm. that's pressing on him, like, that can give you like a visceral reaction for yeah. your character.
Yes.
Like, you know, just having spiders.
Yeah, it's, you know, you cringe, you shiver a little bit.
Yeah.
Thinking about that.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's extremely brave of your character to do it anyway.
It was necessary at the time. We were doing a thing. And again, Jessica tried, didn't do well. We need to get this done. Let me try. And now, terrified it happens again. But understands it's probably going to.
You know, I'm glad it happened. Because it was a good moment. It's a character building moment.
Right.
But man, that was a rough story.
Yeah.
Their dice were cursed the whole day. Mm-hmm. I think they succeeded 3 rolls the entire session. It was fucking astounding.
Werewolf the Apocalypse, creating phobias since 1990.
You're welcome.
Creating phobias, yeah, it was. I don't like spiders already, and now I really hate them, just like bees.
I can work on that. We can work on that. The little Nick Cage action. I'm into it. Nick
Cage. I don't want to know. Oh. No, I really don't want to know.
Well, you give me ideas, and then you walk away from them like you're not responsible.
Character building.
Yeah, right. Now, to move back to the aspect of the Gaia's shadow.
Okay.
You know, I mentioned that there is day and night. You know, things in the penumbra largely work like they do in the realm. Time moves at the same rate. Your travel is at the same rate. You know, it's not a get out of jail free. It is. It's a spiritual representation. You know, and in terms of appearance, we talked a bit about that. And I think if you're trying to show somebody, mm-hmm. you know, I think a great example is the Upside Down in Stranger Things.
Oh yeah,
Season 1, Stranger Things. There's those, you know, the other side, and I think it's a great representation of the penumbra.
Okay.
I mean, it's not, again, it's not one for one, but the show is not one for one.
No,
but
it's not.
I think it's a great fucking representation of the penumbra.
Yeah.
A more corrupty.
Right, yeah. Right, I was going to say.
Reflection.
Yeah, I was going to say it's a more blighted version.
More blighted version. I mean, there's not a bunch of spirits running around, but that's not what that show is.
No.
So just fucking bear with us here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, I mean, it's, you know, in the healthy areas, in the spiritually healthy areas of the planet.
Oh, it could be, the Emperor could be a beautiful place.
Yeah, you know, it's gorgeous, it's vibrant. In the day, the sky is the perfect shade of blue with, you know, the ambient sunlight and the gentle breezes and, you know, and it's magical.
But as time goes on, the apocalypse grows closer, and the worm grows more, and more corruption happens, the less that's happening.
Right.
Certainly things are bleak, you know, but I think, you know, the penumbra, I mean the Umbra in general, but again, we're sticking to the penumbra today. It's the best and worst mm-hmm. of things. You know what I mean? I mean, the whole Umbra, it is. There's a lot of little levels to that onion.
Thank you.
You know, yeah, it's...
use it correctly.
All right. You know, I mean, the Umbra is a fucking Russian nesting doll.
Yes.
Oh, that's a good way to put it.
Thank you. There's so much. You know, we talk about experiencing the Umbra. You know, there's that the concept of the second breath, mm-hmm. which is supposed to be, you know, your first experience in the Umbra.
Okay.
It's your rite of passage, but of the Umbra. And, you know, these guys never had it.
Okay.
You know, again, it didn't... It's cool on paper to me, you know?
Well, maybe explain it for the listeners.
Well, it's different for every tribe. And okay. That's kind of the thing.
Okay.
It's kind of why I didn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's because, again, the Umbra is not just some get-out-of-jail-free card. It's another world, but it's a world that's connected to you through part of you.
Right.
You know, you part spirit. It's a big deal. It's a level, there's a level to where it's a religious experience.
Yes.
You know, we didn't do it.
Mm.
You know, and part of that was the circumstances surrounding their first change and their integration to the Garu Nation.
Right.
And it's a little bit my canon here is, you know, it's one of those things that I think is cool on paper, but it's often impractical.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's one of those things where if you're in a single tribe sept, which isn't something I do a lot of.
Right.
But they have time for that shit.
Yeah.
You know, if you're in a Geta Fenris sept with a pack of Geta Fenris, yes, you can do your second breath, and it's probably going to be harrowing and hardcore, and you're going to get some glory out of that shit. Probably.
But that's how they roll.
Right. But now you're in a mixed tribe sept, and you're a mixed tribe pack. We don't have time to do your Child of Gaia, you know, everybody hug, we're all connected experience. We don't have time, Mr. Fianna, for your let's get plowed and sing some songs, Umber experience. We don't have time to look over here to the Actina to say let's whisper to some Banes and then lick the worm in the eyeball experience. We
wow.
don't have time to do all three of those, man. We got shit to do.
Really stereotypical.
I know. Lick the worm in the eyeball, man.
I know. I want to read that tribe book and find where it says that.
I feel strongly none of that shit is listed anywhere. but you get what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
I just, for me, as a storyteller, I find it's impractical. No one's got time for that. What do you mean? Would you spend a week?
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Yeah. We spend a week getting you guys to the Umbra for the first time? Dude,
no.
We are busy.
No.
There's a war going on, asshole. Here is your weapon. Go out and try not to die.
Mm-hmm.
It was almost instant. We had our first change. Okay, good. Guess what's about to happen? You're learning on the fly.
Yep. Of course, and I mean, your group started at a forward sept. It wasn't a cairn. It wasn't even a permanent sept.
Yeah, it was temporary.
It was a very temporary war party, and you just got they were stuck with you. There was nowhere to take you.
That's a body with weapons. Here, you don't have any? Well, here, take this.
10-foot tall murder machine.
Yep. And,
go.
You know, you can live this out and maybe you'll die. We didn't lose anyone. We didn't have you an hour ago, so if you died an hour from now, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
No, that's... There's no other way to put that. He's absolutely right.
There's no moon bridge. We don't have the gas money to take you somewhere else. You're just with us for right now.
Which kind of makes sense because it established the setting of the whole entire game. Like, this is fast-paced. This is at war. You are either ready to go or you're dead.
And sometimes both.
Yeah.
It's not a fun life. I mean, that's something that I do as a storyteller. It's one of my main focuses, that being a Garu kind of sucks.
Yeah.
It's not, I mean, my games aren't all doom and gloom, but...
Not all. Just most.
No, look, there's some horror around. Thrown in.
No, there's, yeah, it's good half and half.
Cool.
No, but it is a horror genre role-playing game.
No, that's true.
So, doom and gloom and, you know, some gore and some horror are to be expected.
Yep.
Well, my point is that it's the games themselves aren't all, oh, let's be sad all the time, or... Oh, this life's bad. But Life as a Garu does suck.
No, that's Wraith.
But again, that's the idea, is that being a Garu does suck.
Yeah.
There are perks, and there's a lot of moving parts, but that's not a fun life.
No,
and that's why you need your pack.
Yes.
You know, because that makes it suck less.
And it's like, you wanted to be a veterinarian. That's too fucking bad. Instead, we're going to send you to Rio de Janeiro to kill 30 vampires. So instead of, like, helping a dog not be sick, go kill people instead. And then come back so we can reward you for it and send you to kill more people. You're welcome. That's kind of the same thing, though, right?
Kind of. And even then, are they really rewarded?
Okay, but you mentioned moon bridges.
Battle scars, motherfucker. Yes, I did. Yeah. Hey, how about we talk about something armor-related?
Yeah.
I thought we were doing pretty well.
We were.
And then all of a sudden...
Rails. Where'd they go?
Safety and answer for nothing. Go on.
So, you know, how do moon bridges work?
Well, moon bridges, and this is a
hyper condensed version.
Not even; it's just a little out of the wheelhouse. But fuck it, it's more related than what we were talking about. a two cairns do. Mm-hmm. You know, and again, the
he's waving his hands around. He doesn't know what to say.
What's going on?
Figure out a shorter way to say it.
Yes, thank you, Danny, my friend who isn't a huge prick. No, again, with the short version, the bare bones kind of version, it's, you know, two cairns. You know, mm-hmm. you have a path stone and a cairn.
Okay.
And two cairns will enact a rite to link those path stones together through what's called a moon bridge. And it's a much, much faster form of travel over long distances.
Okay.
You know, you could envision it as a column of light that you simply, you know, you walk up through the umbra and boom, and the travel is much, much faster in the realm than it is while you're walking it. Or maybe it's instant if you want to run an instant that way too. I prefer to make you guys do it, and it's, you know, time's wonky sometimes. Ha ha.
So it's umbral travel.
Yes.
Between cairns.
Two cairns.
Okay.
Yeah, it's definitely a faster method of travel, especially when you have to, you have this cairn over here on the other side of the country.
Right.
Yeah, and it's like, hey, how are the teenagers going to get across the country with no car?
Well, they could steal a car.
Which, yeah, that's something we've done.
Or hitchhike.
In-game, just to be fair, in-game we've done.
Yeah, parole officer, don't listen.
Statute of limitations, Danny, you're solid on that bit.
Oh, fine, okay.
You were very young, it's fine.
Jesus Christ.
Good, 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 good. So, I mean, yeah, that is part of umbral travel, certainly. You know, there are also erts, which are spirit trails.
Okay.
You know, spirits, you know, the more intelligent ones. Mm-hmm. You know, you have your spirit hierarchy, so the higher up the hierarchy, the more canny and more, let's say, individualistic, for lack of a better term, the spirit is.
Okay.
Well, the more intelligent, the more personal, the more sentient.
Easier to talk to?
That depends on the spirit.
I think intelligence is one of those hierarchies.
Well, you know, how do you, and this is a different episode, but how do you talk to the spirit of the concept of the color blue? That's a real question.
Yes, that is a real spirit.
Okay, Danny, you talk to the spirit of the concept of the color blue.
Like this.
That's not talking.
That's, exactly. It's not talking, no.
But that is my point.
I am very happy you are not this Pax Thirsch. What an embarrassment. That would be terrible.
So you only talk in shades of blue? Only using words that associate shades of blue?
But that's going to be a spirit episode. Okay. Let's not muddy the water further.
Right, backtrack a little bit.
But there you go. You know, so intelligence or prayer references, different things. But, you know, spirits know their way around. Obviously, they travel the umbra. You know, you get the right spirit, maybe spirit of a cockroach, spirit of a rat in the city, they might know a shortcut or a secret way to get to somewhere that you wouldn't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is kind of cool. And that becomes a bigger deal when you go further into the umbra. But that's not this episode today.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's past penumbra.
Yeah. You know, but there are, you know, we go back to, there are a lot of different zones. Like, again, those zones, those many realms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, we brought up the Blight, which is, you know, kind of that fight between Weaver and Worm. But, you know, you have you have all sorts of them. And I see Danny's flipping through his notes, because I know he's written some of those down.
Domains was the name of those.
Thank you.
Yes. See, I wrote shit down.
I know you wrote shit down. You got a lot of pages there.
Doesn't mean I remember any of it, but...
Doesn't mean all of it's relevant.
That's true. He took a lot of extra notes.
Tried being an overachiever, and it was just a waste of time.
How's it a waste of time? That's more knowledge for you.
Touche.
You'll be more prepared for other episodes.
Also true.
Yeah. Okay, I'll take it. Thanks, guys.
You're welcome.
See, they are nice to me sometimes.
Ugh, you ruined it.
All right.
Do we have to give the $10 he gave us back?
Oh. He gave you $10?
Oh, he didn't give you $10 to be nice to him?
No, I took 20 from his wallet an hour ago.
Oh.
Son of a bitch.
But, excellent. You know, we talk about the idea of the spirit of the concept of the color blue. And I wasn't just going nowhere with that, because that brings us into a concept, these domains called an epiph.
Okay.
And then these are, you know, these are dedicated to a singular concept, like the color blue, or an acorn falling onto a rock.
The smell of cinnamon.
Certainly. It's a good one. You know, carrot top. You know?
Comedian?
Sure.
If that's really what you want.
No.
I'd call that pretty simple. Carrot top? Pretty simple.
No. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, so are these domains, or are they part of the penumbra, or how does that shake out?
I think they're more like a pocket dimension that's just kind of scattered throughout the penumbra.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. You know, I used the term mini-zone, which was, again, not appropriate, but we want to try to give the idea to someone who has no idea what the fuck we're talking about.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, like, if you're walking around in the penumbra, can you accidentally just stumble into one of these things?
Sure.
I don't see why not.
You absolutely can. And you can stumble your ass back out most of the time. Hopefully.
Hopefully.
You know,
most.
Yeah, depending on which one it is.
Mm-hmm. You know, something like an epiph is probably easier, I guess, depending on the nature of what it is.
Okay.
You know, because, you know, there's also chimeras, which are dream realms.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's not that, those are your larger concept ones.
Right.
You know, the falling dream. You know, the falling dream.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, everyone's got that, yeah.
Or the, you know, school or work or whatever, naked, I don't remember the test. You know, the variations on the shit that everyone has had or knows about.
Mm-hmm.
Those will have chimeras. But, you know, the time that you ran out of pasta for the dinner party and they were all dogs playing poker is not going to be one.
Well, that's an anxiety dream.
But maybe if everybody has that dream all the time.
Yeah, if that was more in the collective conscious, that would appear. But that's, you have to stop eating pastrami and cream cheese before bed.
Good sir. You understand what is fundamentally wrong with that sentence towards me.
Yes.
No, I know, pastrami's gross. But
anywho.
Yes, you're a vegetarian. Fine, relish in caterpillars.
Ew.
Either way.
None of this matters.
Well, you're saying you can stumble in and then very easily stumble out again depending on which one it is.
Mostly, right. And sometimes, and maybe.
I don't see you stumbling.
Welcome to the Umbra.
Right. I don't see anybody stumbling out of a hellhole.
But that's a little different.
Mm-hmm.
Because those are those are so closely tied to a place.
Right.
You know, you could make an argument that a chimera would pop up in the bedroom of the sleeping person while they're having that dream, and will maybe fade out and move somewhere else once that person awakes. You could make that argument. But a hellhole, which is, you know, kind of, it's like a blight on steroids, except,
a lot of suffering.
Well, right. Like, you know, it's like, you know, the blight was between the worm and the weaver, so, like, a hellhole is the worm forces took a whole bunch of roids and took out the weaver stuff. And it's just got strong. It's exactly what it, you know, a hellhole is, it's aptly named. You know, it's just the worst thing.
Yeah, that kind of sounds about right. Just the worst.
You know, they're typically manifest. It's like the filthiest, most hopeless examples of human waste on the planet.
That's kind of why, that's why I mentioned the word suffering.
You know, a little excerpt from Umbra 20.
Okay.
You know, it's like, contrary to the easy assumption, these places only sometimes exist in cities. After all, most humans don't want to live anywhere near that kind of nastiness that could cause a hellhole to begin with.
So it's the place that's illegally dumping toxic waste.
Yucca yes. Mountain.
Okay.
Is an example of a hellhole.
Oh, wow. Okay. Mm.
You know, there's one in Staten Island.
That's kind of funny.
You know, Alamogordo, probably a safe bet.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah, you'd think you'd automatically make the leap to cities.
But no.
People are going to want to be there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's the worm version. You know, for the wild, you have glens, which is kind of analogous to a blight,
mm-hmm.
just for the wild, and then but then you have wildings, which is like the wild's version of a hellhole.
But it's just total chaos.
It can be. It's kind of more primordial.
Okay.
A little kind of land of the lost kind of vibe.
Yeah, I was gonna say primitive.
Yeah, you know, a guy will feel right at home there. You know,
that doesn't make it any less scary.
True. You know, they're a little bit you know, king of fuck mountain over there. But at the same time, that kind of sucks, too. Because you think about it, you put yourself in this position. This is probably more true with glens, because wildings are significantly more dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you think about it, it's just, it's an idealized place. Glen is an idealized place for Garo.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a breath of fresh air. It's right. Like the way things, quote, should be. But then here's the thing. Then you have to leave that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no.
Right? So, oh, it's amazing. And also, though, because you do have to leave.
And if you don't, you starve to death.
Right. You become spirit. You're going to at some point. And then there are girls who spend years there.
Oh, Jesus.
But you do at some point have to leave, theoretically.
And Hirano.
You know, what a fucking bummer that is.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you've lived the dream and not so much now.
No, it's just gone.
Right. Dane, you got something?
No, I was just... reading from W20, the glens, they say, like, the spirits there are usually, like, on the higher scale of intelligence. It's probably a little easier to talk to them.
Certainly can be.
Which makes sense why, being a werewolf, that's where you'd want to be.
Well, not only that, I mean, it's the wild.
Yeah.
So, it's the gorgeous and the lovely and paradise.
Mm-hmm.
Theoretically, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, there are other domains, too. You know, you've got your Weaver-controlled stuff. You've got your Traz, which deals with the Fae. You got your stuff next to the, you know, the Astral Umbra, next to the... And, like, there's just so much.
Mm-hmm.
There's a ton of stuff.
There is, and it's... We certainly couldn't do all of that today. But I feel like we probably got a... We hopefully gave you a taste of the basics...
Yeah, a little bit of the Umbra.
Yeah, we're dipping our toe in. You know, you got to crawl before you walk.
Yeah, being the penumbra, knowing that this is where most Garu, if they're going to the Umbra, this is where they're going to be.
Yes, that's a good point. In your standard story, if you're going to the Umbra, you mean the penumbra.
Right.
You know, the near Umbra, you go deeper in, that's for you're specifically going somewhere in the Umbra. That's quests, that's the near realms. That's shit that we'll talk about in a different day.
Mm-hmm. Different episode.
Yeah. Now,
I'm excited to talk about those quests.
And we're going to get there, man. We are nowhere near done talking about the Umbra. It's just like we're not done talking about any damn thing here. Come on. Look, we got a stool next to these premises. We're going to milk them.
Porter got his voice back.
Right. Let's hope that holds. Jesus. But I think that we don't have a Cubs Corner today.
That is correct.
Yeah, I think this kind of covers this entire episode with, you know, being basic and an intro.
Yeah, I guess in Cubs Corner, the question could be, what's can you tell us a bit about the Umbra? Yeah, rewind.
Yeah.
Rewind, and that's your episode. That's your Cubs Corner today.
Play it again.
Just do, that's right.
Maybe we should have started the episode with, like, hey, starting out with Cubs Corner, what's the Umbra? And then just ran it.
Holy shit.
Ooh. Long Cubs Corner.
I think that would make some people mad, but it kind of makes me want to do it.
I can fix it in editing.
Just a fucking troll.
You want to edit that first? Good luck.
Oh, that's not a problem at all. You just give me a little ADR. Not today.
No.
I want this out there so that when I do it eventually, people are going to be like, is he fucking with us or is this a real thing now? I want them to be unsure. But yeah, we don't have a Cubs Corner today. We feel like, look, you learned about the Umbra. Congratulations for the Cubs Corner folk out there. Enjoy that Silver Fox pack. And write in, because we're out of our backlog of Cubs Corner questions, I think.
Yes, we are.
So, yeah. You know.
So we need new ones.
Yeah. You know, email them in, which would be RageAcrossPodcast@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could go to Joey on Twitter at Rage Across.
Really want to?
You could.
I think you do.
You could go on Facebook and talk to me there. But really, the you could go to the damn website.
The website's the best place.
You know, we have a forum there. Just pop that stuff in the forums. You know, you will probably get an answer on the forum, and you will probably get an answer on air. And those will be related to each other. Well, that's how far we want to get into it on the day.
Okay.
You know, do we feel like being chatty in the forum, or do we feel like being chatty on the air? Maybe both. Who fucking knows? But you'll get your answers that way. And since you're on the internet, and you are, because you can hear me, don't forget to, give us some likes on our various social media. Don't forget to rate us. You know, give us some reviews to wherever it is you're choosing to listen to this thing. And it's important. It means a lot to us. It helps the show get better.
And it helps our ratings. And it helps more people see us.
Right. Right. The more attention we get that way, the more people see us, the more people we bring in. We get this digital Karen working. And look at that. We're all home. We're all happy. We're going to get up there and rank. Claves for everybody. That's what I'm saying.
Holy shit.
We hit the goal, and I'll tell you what the goal is. We'll get there. I'll tell you when the goal is there.
When we ring that button, claves for everybody.
When the button is rung to a significant degree, there will be claves for everyone.
Oh, my God. We're really going to have to hold us to this.
I said it. Don't cut it. I said it.
Okay.
Don't cut it.
Don't cut it. Don't cut it. That's going to be a thing. So, write in, give us your questions, give us your comments, rate us, give us reviews. Hey, if you want to help support the podcast, we have that Amazon portal.
Mm-hmm.
You click on that link, buy whatever you're going to buy on Amazon. They give us a little taste, a little kickback. It costs you absolutely nothing.
Because you're on Amazon anyway.
Right.
Who's not on Amazon, seriously?
You got to live in the world, man. Also, we have that donate button, which hopefully in the next while will become a Patreon button, so you'll get something back. But again, in the meantime, you'll get grandfathered
in. And who knows? It might already be a Patreon button.
Who does know? We have no idea when this is going to air.
We don't know what day it is.
Welcome to the year 2024.
Whoa.
Or not.
You know, hey, maybe...
My wife misses me by now.
Maybe by this time... Oh, you've been divorced for years.
Probably about four. Got it.
You know, it's entirely possible that we have our merch store up.
Who knows?
And, you know, you're sitting there with a ring the bell button and
a Rage Across the Internet mug?
Yeah. Could be drinking coffee out of your Rage Across. Who knows? Because the future is so bright, I do, in fact, have to wear shades. But in the meantime, on behalf of everyone here at Summer Rain Studio, I want to say thank you so much for listening, taking the time with us. You know, on behalf of Danny, on behalf of producer Joey and Tom, who... We'll let him out of the box sooner or later. And myself, we want to say thank you. Good night, everybody. Be excellent to each other. We'll see you.
Rage Across the Internet's music is It's Into the Fog by Darren Curtis, shared with a Creative Commons Attribution 3.0 unported license. For details, check out the information under the podcast.